So we have you back on to talk about your new album. Last time we were talking, it was for Lasers and Poison. Still one of my favorite albums that's been released in recent years. That's in steady rotation for me. So first thing, of course, that I noticed with this is the title, Pro-Antagonist. I have to know what the story behind that is.
Yeah, bro. Well, as you know, number one, thanks for having me again. Number two, thanks for continuing to bump Lasers and Poison. And number three, to support the movement UGH, especially the vinyl department. That is always appreciated. As far as pro-antagonist, bro, sometimes I just get these words in my head, like, like I do a lot of weird wordplay stuff with lyrics. So I just had this, like, so the original album was called Enemy of the Statist. And then when I wrote Pro Antagonist, I was like, oh, this is for sure the album title, because you can interpret that word so many ways. Like, either you're a professional antagonist or you're pro, you're like support antagonists. So I thought it was a strong album title that kind of leaves it open for interpretation, but also at the same time isn't super vague. The best way I could put it is like, and when we roll out, which I'm supposed to do today, but I got like a million other things just happened. When we roll out the avatars, let me mute this. But when we roll out the avatars, it's going to be like your favorite protagonist or antagonist. But I chose Denzel Washington of Man on Fire because he's like a good bad guy.
Okay.
So that's kind of like in my head where that came from. Like, the dude in the movie that's he's a bad guy, but he's good. So, like Denzel, right? He's like this alcoholic. He's like this ex whatever. So he's not really like a quote unquote good guy anymore, but he's hired by this family who had a kidnapped daughter, and he fucking goes, he handles the job. So that's kind of like where I'm at with that. But it leaves it for the avatars. Like, you can be any protagonist, antagonist from any genre of film, video games, comic book. So it just leaves it wide open to pretty much anything.
Nice. That's very cool. So will this be packaged with a UGH just like Lasers and Poison was?
What we're gonna do, I think, on this one is every artist who gets on will also get the album. So with Lasers and Poison, I did double albums and I did standalone UGHs. This one, everyone who contributes will get the double disc.
Now, is this just going to be a CD and digital release? You mentioned, doing the UGH vinyl and stuff. Are we going to see a vinyl release for this one?
I mean, so the problem with this album is the songs are so long. So the vinyl thing gets tricky. Once I'm done with the CD part, I'll probably, like I always do, I do a CD, and then when it's done, I say, who wants to be on the vinyl? And then if there's enough response, I would say there's a higher probability of the bonus disc being a vinyl. And then maybe throw a song or two on there from that out from the main album. Or do like, I really gotta get through this stage of it first to really wrap my head around like the popularity and all that. But vinyl right now is just every time I get a quote, it's like when
Oh,
I
it's crazy
started
right now.
vinyl, it's crazy. When I started vinyl, 200 pieces was whatever, and now 100 pieces is the same price as 200 was. And the turnaround time is like 9 to 12 months. So, with this new Jamie Madrox vinyl, I have a new supplier I think I'm going to try who says 10 weeks. So, I asked them several times. I don't know what to believe. And I'm going to be wishful and hopeful that it is 10 weeks because their price is now cheaper than my other price, not by much, but like, so. We're just going to see what happens. But taking that information, my next record is going to be under 48 minutes. I'm purposely making it that way. So I think I'm just going to do vinyl only. So it's going to be double vinyl, one vinyl mine, one vinyl bonus, and then digital. So because I think CDs ruin digital. In other words, if you own the CD, you're not going to run up the Spotify numbers. You're not going to run up the iTunes numbers because you have the CD, you burned it, you ripped it to your phone, you ripped it to all your devices, and so you may not stream it as much. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, because when I did this Jamie Madrox, and I don't want to get too off tangent of the album, but when I did the Jamie Madrox, it took a longer time to fill the CD than usual, but the vinyl was like 3 days. I was like shocked. I put one little ad out and I got like 15 people in like an hour wanting to be on it. So I think vinyl right now is, we know vinyl right now is much hotter than CD. CD is just becoming more and more passe. So for sure, with the next record, that's the strategy. With this one, because the songs are so long and I can't fit it all onto a vinyl anyway. I don't want to like pull the album apart.
Right.
Right. Like, oh, this, the vinyl doesn't have the whole album.
And I have seen a few of those recently.
Right. And so I don't know. I think I was listening to an MGK interview about his new album, Mainstream Sellout. And he's like, since vinyl takes so long to make, the vinyl of my album has like scratch vocal tracks on it. Some of them aren't even lyrics. It's just me humming the melodies to write to. And like, it's like totally different than the CD digital version. So I was like, oh, that's kind of sick too, you know? But you know, like I don't want to break the album up especially if I'm going to like put thousands of more dollars into a vinyl. But like, I got to see the response first and then take it from there.
Absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned looking at the response to everything. Now, when Lasers and Poison came out, that charted on the alternative charts on iTunes. Does that put any kind of pressure on you from the artist perspective when you're going into writing this new project?
No, I think this one's going to do better because I think we messed up with Lasers and Poison putting it in alternative, because alternative is so much broader than metal. You got Billie Eilish, you got like Nirvana, who still sells tons of records. You got anything that doesn't fit into metal, country, pop, or hip hop is an alternative. Whereas metal is just this little fucking avenue. Cause you got punk rock, that there's no punk thing in, I don't think. So that all goes into alternative. And like, so I think it's going to do better because of that category, and because I just think it's a way better album all around.
I think the album's great. I had an opportunity to listen to it. One of the cool things that kind of struck me, because I personally enjoy long songs, so you know, listening to those and really having a chance to kind of see where you take each track musically was really interesting to me, just as a fan of your work and also as a musician. Now, what was the studio process for this? Like, was it you playing everything? Did you have a team you were working with, a band?
It was the same process as the last album. I wrote a lot more of this album than the last album. Like, I wrote a lot of it, like guitar parts, drum parts, obviously all the lyrics and stuff. I had no collaborations at all. I just felt no one would fit on these songs, and it would kind of distract the whole feel of the album. So how it usually works is I'll do a demo on the drums and the guitar and the vocals, and I'll send it to Larry, and he'll take all the different files. He'll replay the guitars. He'll run the drums through Superior Drummer. It's where, you know, it takes raw drum tracks and MIDIs them, so he can then change. So like, you hear the playing, but it's more like MIDI'd out. So there's not, it's not like, cause some parts he'll just take the tones and the feeling, and then like, cause I'll write the verses and the choruses, and then I'll send them, and he'll add the bridges and the outros. So like, for example, I was talking to Stir Craze, and he's like, did you know 99% of hit songs have outros? And I didn't even consider that, but I took that, like, that little fact stuck in my head, and I was like, outros. So like with the Goblin Face, that was supposed to be on Lasers and Poison, but it didn't fit. And George is like, you need to take some of the songs off and like save it for new projects. So I took that song off, and that had the longest outro on the, if it were to be on Lasers and Poison. So I took that song and modeled all the other songs. La Jolla was also supposed to be on Lasers and Poison, and it didn't have an outro. So I sent Larry that back. I'm like, it needs an outro. So then everything became about the outro. So like, I would write the song and then we would do it. And then I would be like, okay, now it needs an outro. And he's like, oh, okay. So like, that's why every song is like a 90-second out. Like the outro of every song on that album is like a new song in itself.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, cause I remember hearing an earlier version of La Jolla when you were working on Lasers and Poison. And then that was, you know, I was excited to kind of hear that again when I got to it. And then where I expected the song to end, it was almost like a completely different song starts at that point. Yeah. And I personally thought outro, that was really cool.
That outro is just so like, it just makes the song so much more like, cause it's like, when you hear the song, you're like, oh, this is like a sort of happy song, but then it just totally makes it, what it's actually about. It makes it really more real. I should just call the song like pro outro, because it's really what, you know, it's all about. So we had a lot of fun with it. It was a very dark album, and so very depressing, all that. I can't even really listen to it now. When I do, I'm like, damn, I can't believe that came out of me, because I'm so past that now in my head. You know, I'm doing a lot happier music right now. So, but it's still like, it's still timeless, bro. You know what I mean? Like I listen to it, I'm like, damn, that's really good music. It's just like hard to listen to, because I was so angry and depressed in the music. So,
right.
And then, so, you know, so now I'm writing really happy music, which is, it's a fun departure.
Now, with everything kind of opening back up, is there any chance you're going to be doing any live shows to promote this?
I'm thinking like next year, I'm going to have, you know, my kids are getting older. Things are more open. And I think I'm going to start doing things. I need to figure out how it's going to work though, in terms of like how I'm going to do this. Like if I were to do a show, like what would the set list even look like? Because most people, like the legacy fans, are like, what they want to hear, the rap shit. I still got Lasers and Poison songs, and then I got this new album, and by the time I go out, I'm going to have this other album. Because once this album's done, I'm going to boom right into the next album, you know, within like, I don't know, 3 to 6 months. I'm going to hit it quick because it's the album's done. And you know what I'm saying? So, and that album is like, it's like I don't want to like ruin it, but it's like, it's a pun. It goes back to my roots in the West Coast Fat Records punk stuff. So I'm really able to play all the guitar parts and sing them at the same time. So, and I have a band here that can play the drums and the bass. So, you know, it's just going to be all over the place. I don't know where I am going to start. I'm really missing the live shows. So I need to like really figure out if I did shows, like what the set list would look like. Cause I got to do some of the rap songs and I got to do some of the metal songs. And how do I pull the metal shit off without a band? Or do I just do the, you know what I mean? So
right,
definitely not this year, but it's coming. Like I, like if you asked me last year, which you probably did, like, oh, I'm never doing a show again, but it's, I'm like jonesing for that thing. And, you know, it just, the opportunity, like, you know, Twisted is still like on a hiatus. They're going to start popping up here, but, do I jump on some of their dates? Do I do my own, like, do I just book my own thing? So, I got to really wrap my head around how that's going to look, but I would say like next summer. Yeah. I'm going to do some like couple weeks out there, West Coast, maybe mid, like, you know, or just do some long drives and hit up a little bit of everything.
Now, I'm definitely, for me personally, I'm a big first song guy. And you'd mentioned with streaming and everything, I feel like the great thing about streaming right now is it does level the playing field to where everybody's music is getting, you know, the same shelf space, so to speak, not like it was in the days where you had to fight for shelf, literal shelf space at a record store. But also, I think the downside of that, of course, is you have millions of options and everything's vying for your attention. So I'm a big first song guy. And I really think, you know, your first song on a record has to grab me, especially if it's an artist I'm not familiar with. If the first song doesn't catch me, I'm probably not making it through the record. Might not even make it to a second song. So obviously I'm already a fan of yours, but the first song, Enemy of the Status on this, amazing. Definitely grabs you right off the bat. And being a big first song guy, that was important to me. Is that something you're thinking about when you're writing it, or do you look at the sequencing after the fact once you have all the songs?
The sequencing happens real time. So like when I get a mix back, so I have a playlist on my phone of the mixes. So when I get a mix back, I'm like, oh, this one goes right there. So it's a real time thing. So when I'm doing that, I'll be like, there's no track one yet for this album. There's no track three yet for this album. So when I'm working with Larry, I'll be like, I need a track three. And he's sometimes knocks it out of the park, and some like this, I'm like, I need a track one. And he sent this for the new album. He sent this song. I'm like, this doesn't even make this album. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even the same, but, so with Enemy, that was the first song I wrote for this album. And it was just like, it never got bumped down. It wouldn't fit anywhere else in that track list. So the album took a more personal turn, but originally, because I wrote Enemy during like all this shit, like 2 years, like 1.5 years ago, and Pro Antagonist, like Pro Antagonist, it was track two. It was always, I'm like, I need a song that starts like this. With Pro Antagonist, all I wrote was the chorus, and Larry put the verse and the bridge, and then Jesse did the outro, the rap outro. Cause I wanted to do a song that had like this long, cause I don't rap on this album very much. I wanted to do a song with a very long rap outro. So that's where it was. Yeah, but with that being said, the main like philosophy is I just have a playlist and I'll listen to it through, and I'm like, no, that song is track three. This song is track four. And then by the time I have all the mixes, it's like, well, this song can really only fit here or here. So it's pretty much determined. You know what I'm saying?
Nice. Now, as far as singles, have you already like picked what's coming out before the album for people to check out?
Yeah, so Enemy has a video. It's a lyric video. La Jolla, I think you even saw the video.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like the money song. It doesn't really represent the album. You know what I'm saying? But that's the money song.
Oh, yeah. That's that's definitely a radio song. One of my friends calls those kind of songs Army Wife Rock. And I think that's right. Perfect.
It's Army Wife. So I got a video, lyric video. I didn't do like the videos and money. It's just real, real tough. So Goblin Face, I think, has a lyric video. La Jolla has like a pretty decent budget music video. So I'm using that to like ride me out. Enemy has a nice Keegan Grimm. Vampirus, I think that'll have a video. So Robots was supposed to be the high budget video, but it didn't work out. So unfortunately, that as of yet has any visuals. Pro Antagonist has a visual. I think the Slowly Killing Myself, that'll be like the first single. I think that is like one of the best songs, like front to back, that I've ever done, if not the best song I've ever written. But that has it's all pretty much lyric videos. I gotta look at the track list to like remember, but there's not, here it is. So Enemy, yes. Pro Antagonist, yes. Vampirus, maybe. Skeletons, no. Remote Control, no. Exit Strategy, no. Ricochet has a video. It's like a anime video. It's really clean. I like that one. Slowly Killing Myself, yes. And La Jolla, yes. So there is like half and half with visuals. The Ricochet thing is like a huge leap of faith. So, but that, I don't know if it's a Faith No More cover song. So that could be a big clickbaiter right there. Right. So it's like the first cover song I've ever really done that wasn't like a remake or a spoof. So I got to figure out the singles. I know for sure Slowly Killing Myself is the one I want to put first.
And when do you think those are going to start rolling out, the singles?
Probably late, like maybe August.
August? Okay.
Yeah. I got to figure out like the UGH stuff, because I'm doing a podcast with that, where every contributing artist will be on the podcast. I'm going to do the first one actually tonight. It's going to be like a surprise attack, if you will, like with the particular guests I have lined up and stuff. So I'm going to blow it out the water tonight around midnight Eastern, and then figure it out. Just like with what I do, it's, you got to feel it out. Like how is it flowing? If things are like stagnant, I might drop the single sooner. If things are going according to schedule, you know, I got to be like consistent with like, cause once you set an album up, you have to be consistent with the release schedule. So if like Slowly Killing Myself is like way out there, I may drop something sooner than that. I got to see where it goes. You know, I really want people's first impression to be that song.
Nice. Anything else you want to add specifically about the album?
It's 10 songs. It's pretty fucking heavy, dude.